Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TIC FM, and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Tim Phelan. He is president of the Connecticut Retail Merchants Association. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
Typically, this is the weekend when the holiday shopping season really gets underway in earnest, but it seems during the pandemic that may not be the case this year. It seems like things have already been going for a while.
That's pretty astute observation on your part, Aaron. I think you're absolutely right. I think this year, in the year of COVID, we've seen a couple of changes from the retail perspective and also from the consumer perspective. The retailer has started sort of the holiday shopping season a little bit earlier. It's kind of like sort of rolled it out in more of a, you know, slow daily announcements. And I think consumers have reacted by starting their shopping a little bit earlier. And so we may not have the official, you know, a shotgun start that we maybe have had in other years.
In what other ways will the holiday shopping season be different this year?
Well, I think we're going to see it in a couple of different ways. I think consumers are going to use different avenues to do their shopping. So the, you know, traditional way of just getting in a car and driving to a store and walking around the store, you may not see as much of that sort of foot traffic that you have in other years, because of the options that are now available and because of the you know, COVID conditions that we're living under. So I think you'll see more online shopping from all types of retailers, not just from traditional retailers. You'll see more sort of maybe order online, pick up in store, which is another popular item that folks have been using during the holiday season. You're going to probably see more curbside pickup where you don't even go in the store. Someone from the store comes out and greets you with your purchase. So that kind of combination of different ways in which people are shopping because of COVID will be extended, I think, into the holiday season.
How many of those measures and those new options for consumers do you think will stick around when things start to get back to normal? Do you think curbside pickup is here to stay for a lot of retailers?
Well, to be really direct, yes, I think they're all going to stay. I think part of the changes that had to take place because of COVID, retailers made investments in, all retailers had to make investments. You know, like, I mean, we're talking about a single store, local mom and pop store that had to make investments in online selling to customers. Those aren't going to go away. And certainly the national chains that have stores in a variety of states, they've made those investments as well. And I think you're going to continue to see that. I think the new mantra in retail that has been enhanced during the COVID period is meeting customers where they are. We started to see that with the use of technology in the course of the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, and even the last 2 or 3 years, you started to see more and more online shopping and traditional brick and mortar retailers converting and having active websites for customers to come in and make their purchases. And I think that's just been enhanced because of this unprecedented time that we're in. And I think they're not going to go away. I think they're going to stick around.
Talk a little more about the investments that retailers have made in terms of safety precautions in their stores. They've had to spend a lot of money and in some cases even reconfigure stores.
Yeah, absolutely. They've had to spend money to comply with safe store guidelines that were put in place. That included plexiglass barriers between customers and, or dividers, I should say, between customers and retailers at point of sale. They had to make investments in, as you say, moving around some store configuration things. So, you know, maybe moving a display out of the way or reconfiguring an aisle so that folks could have, you know, one-way aisles. So lots of investments in terms of physical conditions of the store in order to comply. Some of those may not stay. You may see when we eventually get back to normal, stores may, I'm certain, will eliminate the unnecessary sort of divider that they have with customers. Eventually, I think some of the physical spacing may also be changed as well. But for short term now, they've made those investments to ensure that they comply with safe store guidelines, which in reality mean you want to have a safe store for people to come in and do shop. And that is the highest priority for the retailer. So make sure the customer, when they walk in the store, they feel confident that the store is a safe store, that the store is taking all the right precautions to make sure that their shopping experience results in a safe, positive one.
Do retailers have all the resources they need to ensure that safe shopping experience? Do they have access to the adequate plexiglass? Do they need more, funding from the federal government? What's on the wish list?
In terms of the compliance with the safe store guidelines, I think those are already in place. They've had to be in place since May when we reopened. So that I don't think is necessarily as acute a problem as it might have been when we first reopened. Do retailers still need assistance from Washington in terms of, grants or loans or short-term loans to continue to operate post-holiday season? I think the answer to that is yes. I think consumer demand is back, but it's not back to the level of pre-COVID. And if holiday is not as strong as we all like and expect it to be, the challenge to retailers' bottom lines will remain a significant challenge, and they're going to need assistance in order to keep their business and their employees that work for their businesses employed. So it's still a critical issue. It's a critical time for retailers, certainly, and so they're going to be looking for help. But the assistance, I think, is more in the need of, personal services and lease obligations that they still have, overhead, things like that. Not necessarily in terms of a store configuration or PPE or, things we've already talked about. Those things have already had those costs have already had to be incurred to prepare for reopening.
I suspect it varies somewhat based on what retailers are selling, but in general, how has the industry fared during the pandemic? Did it take you a while to get back up and running when the pandemic hit in earnest in March?
Well, I think you touched on it a little bit. I think it depends on the type of retailer you are. I think all of the retailers that we represent and that most of the ones that we spoke to that were excited and eager to reopen and to greet customers, regardless of what type of retailer they were. Now, some of segments of retail has done better in terms of reaching the pre-pandemic goals or comparisons that they had than others. So other retailers are still, trying to, get customer demand back. So it all not to get too granular about it, but it really depends on what type of retailer and what kind of retail business you were in to determine exactly, how you were doing pre COVID shutdown.
I know you represent both large and small retailers. Is there equality there in terms of getting the assistance they need? We heard, at least when it came to the Paycheck Protection Program, that larger retailers, larger businesses in general were able to get more help more quickly than, say, maybe that small mom and pop business. Have you heard of that? Or has it been fairly equal?
I haven't heard that folks have been, let's say their smaller independent retailers have been shut out because they're smaller independent. I think it's a case of the resources that they have available to them to assist in the application process. So I think it's probably intuitive to your listeners and to yourself that if you're a larger company with either a bigger staff or resources to hire professionals to, sort of do your application in a faster manner, and you can submit it through a bank at a faster rate than it takes in terms of just application process than an independent retailer, that's sort of going to give them the advantage. I haven't heard that a smaller retailer did not get a loan because they were a small retailer. I think it was just a matter of, the speed in which, unfortunately, you got your documentation in to your lender, who could then forward it through to, I think it was the Federal Reserve Board they had to go to, or some federal government to facilitate the actual release of the funds. So I think that was kind of the distinction, as opposed to bigger companies getting it because they're bigger versus smaller companies not getting it because they're smaller.
We heard recently from the Connecticut Restaurant Association that Connecticut has lost around 600 restaurants since the start of the pandemic. Are you seeing that large scale sort of business closure among retailers in Connecticut, or have you fared better than restaurants overall?
Yeah, I saw that same number, and my thoughts go to my colleague at the Restaurant Association. They've had a difficult time, I know. You know, it's hard for me to say, Aaron. I haven't really tracked that number. I think overall, we fared okay during this. We're in a different business than the Restaurant Association is. So a different type of consumer demand. But I don't want to, downplay the impact that this has had on the retailers that we represent. It has certainly had a negative impact on them. The customer, the times that they could not, have folks in their stores was certainly had an impact, a negative impact on them. And then consumer demand, in some instances, just has not come back. The change in lifestyles, depending again on what type of retailer you are, but men's and women's clothing apparel, for instance, we know has been impacted negatively. Folks working from home and doing Zooms don't necessarily need to get, shirts and ties, or don't need to go to dry cleaners to get those suits and shirts and type, wear dry clean. So it's not as if the retail industry hasn't felt the effects of it. We certainly have. It's just, it's kind of hard. I don't know exactly how to compare it to how the Restaurant Association has done.
You are listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Tim Phelan. He is president of the Connecticut Retail Merchants Association. Now, in terms of what people are looking for holiday shopping, have you seen those trends change at all compared to prior years?
No, I haven't. I mean, all the data that we get from our friends in Washington who track this stuff for the National Retail Federation looks like the same type of popular items that we've had in previous years will also continue this holiday season. I would just say that, there are, retailers, folks that have been in the home furnishing industry seem to be doing pretty well, that people working from home for whatever reason now are all looking at projects that maybe they put off in the past that they're now sort of paying attention to and making greater investments if they're homeowners. And then other, they may continue that during the holiday season. But I think the rest of the traditional Christmas gifts that we've seen, I haven't seen any data that shows that they're not going to, enjoy that same popularity that they have had in previous years.
So what are some of the most popular gift ideas this year?
Yeah, I think you're going to see again, apparel will be strong, clothing, sweaters, shirts, coats, gloves, hats, all that kind of stuff. Other personal apparel. Electronics is always popular, especially among younger folks, games, that type of stuff. Gift cards continue to be popular. Jewelry, higher end items are also popular as well. And books, again, constantly a perennial favorite during the holiday season.
Now, I know the comfort level varies depending on the consumer, but if someone is going shopping in person this year, what advice do you have for them? Yeah.
Well, we certainly would try to encourage those customers when they go in store to understand that the retailer that they're going to visit is abiding by all the safe store guidelines that the state has required them to do, so that when they go into that store, they should know that the retailer is doing their level best to make that store as safe and that shopping experience as positive as possible for the retailer. On the return end for the consumer, please wear a mask. Please abide by the social distancing guidelines that the retailer is asking you to do. That's going to make the shopping experience a safe one for everyone. Also, little things this year that you may try to think about a little bit more than you have in other years. Be prepared for what it is that you want to purchase when you go in store. Try to be I don't want to say decisive, but try to understand, what is it that you're looking for? And then, have your method of payment ready. Because I think, unfortunately, this year with COVID, time constraints are also a consideration. And we certainly by no means want to rush the shopping process. We just want everybody to be aware of and they are. I mean, I don't think we have to state the obvious, but they are aware that this is going to be a different shopping year than it has been in any other. The retailer is going to have their store ready. The retailer is going to have the store safe for you. And in return, we just ask that you, too, sort of comply with the mask wearing requirements and the other social distancing things that we're asking everybody to do.
When it comes to those rules, what is the best way for retailers to maybe remind someone who's not wearing a mask or going the wrong way down an aisle or something? I'm guessing, confrontational may not be as good as friendly reminder.
Yeah, well, we all want to avoid confrontations between retailers and customers. That we're not in the business of doing that. I think the best way is the way that has been taking place already, which is, constant reminder that masks are the safest way to prevent the spread of the virus, that the distancing, the social distancing is another way that while you're in the store to, make sure that you're safe. I go back to when retail stores reopened, back in May, we had these things in place. And we've only gotten better at it since that time. The retail end, sort of like a practice run for the holiday season. Things like having the proper signage in place. I know some retailers are going to be making announcements, periodically to remind customers when they're in their store that practice social distancing and wear masks and do your best to practice safe. Practices when you're in the store. So I think you're going to see a lot of those, a lot of signs, a lot of directional signs, and a lot of reminders on the part of the retailer that we're sort of all in this together. I know the governor at our meeting last week sort of said that we're the consumer and the retailer are in this together, and we all as citizens of the state are in this together. We want to make sure that we all enjoy a happy and healthy holiday season. And to do that, we have to try to work together.
Now, your trade group has had a seat at the table with the administration throughout this. Have there been any conversations about, tweaking the COVID-19 rules when it comes to retailing, or are they pretty happy with how things are going?
Well, no, I think the rules for retailers in terms of capacity limits are going to remain the same at 50%. And you're right. We have had a seat at the table. We're very grateful for that. It's a recognition on the part of the governor and his team that how important retail is to Connecticut's economy. And we continue to have a good dialogue with the governor and his key folks. In fact, we just I had a conversation with Commissioner Lehman about this weekend. So we'll continue that dialogue. We'll continue to work with him, with the governor and his folks, to make sure that the word is out always with our members and with consumers, how important it is for us to, you know, continue to have safe shopping experiences.
You know, we're always trying to find a silver lining. Could it be here when it comes to retailing in the pandemic that it forced some retailers who were maybe used to just selling in person online, and that is going to benefit their business more in the long run to actually be in the online game?
You know, I think that's absolutely right, Aaron. It goes back to what I was trying to say earlier, that the independent retailer that, to your point, maybe was a little reluctant or just didn't necessarily focus on the need to have a strong online presence has certainly paid attention to that during this period of time. And that's a good thing, I think. It's a good thing for everybody. It's a good thing for the, certainly, I think, good thing for the retailer. It's a good thing for the consumer as well, because they want to be able to support and shop local. And sometimes not being able to have a good internet, a good web interaction with the retailer prevented that. Now, I think more and more independents have focused on their web presence and how they can meet the customer that way, and have done a better job of that. And that will continue to evolve. And I think that's a positive thing. And then national retailers who for years have been trying to compete, you know, online with purely online retailers, have really ramped up their online presence. And all of it results in what we think is a positive experience for the customer, and things that we've already kind of talked about, the purchase online pickup at store, the curbside pickup, the purely online pickup, you know, all those options are now available to customers. And that's in the end, that's a benefit to them.
In our last minute or so, can you share with us maybe an example of a retailer who has had to innovate and come up with something creative to keep their business going, or maybe a business who is giving back even though they themselves are kind of struggling?
Well, I know of a small independent retailer in my hometown who, for a variety of reasons, decided that she did not want to open up her shop. She had some underlying health conditions, and some of her employees did as well. And she went to a purely online, she's a brick and mortar retailer, and went to a purely online retailer, and she's surviving and thriving and doing great. So I think there's probably, you know, lots of those stories out there in terms of, you know, trying to keep the thing, the business going during this holiday season. So we would encourage folks, you know, to, you know, continue to shop local, maybe look online before you go out and visit their store, but they're out there. And in terms of giving back to the community, there are always really good stories of retailers and what they do to try to help their local communities. You know, lots of retailers that we know have kept on many of their employees and continue to, you know, pay them even during the first phase of this, which was, you know, a shutdown of their stores. If they weren't considered an essential retailer, they could only operate with curbside pickup. And that impacted a lot of retailers. And I know lots of those same retailers decided that they were going to keep their employee counts as the same. They were going to continue to pay folks even though they couldn't stay open. And that just demonstrated to me and reinforced with me that they are committed to not only their stores, but their employees and those families that are involved in that as well.
He is Tim Phelan, president of the Connecticut Retail Merchants Association. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome, Aaron. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and to all your listeners.
Same to you. And thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.